Moncrief on News Talk.
If you say electroconvulsive therapy, it tends to conjure up an image of a grim Victorian institution torturing the mentally ill. Yet it's still used in Ireland to a certain extent and many other parts of the world. And a variation of it may soon become available to be used at home. Sarah Kittle-Schneider is head of the Department of Psychiatry at UCC. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Could you describe the procedure, the modern iteration of the procedure? Because I guess many people might be thinking of something they've seen in the movies where you have to bite on a piece of rubber and you convulse terribly and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this is unfortunately still the picture a lot of people have on their minds when I think about ECT, electroconvulsive therapy. But since I guess at least like 50 or even 60 years now, we have this modernized version of ECT, which means that there is an anesthetist. It's not only a psychiatrist, there's also an anesthetist and anesthetist nurse with us. And the people will kind of put to sleep or will be deeply sedated. And we will also be using a muscle relaxant so that they don't convulse like with their bodies. So we really minimize the risk of any injuries. And the thing is that the people really deeply sleep so that they won't have any, recognition or that they won't have any awareness of the procedure of the seizure we are inducing with an electrical impulse. And the whole session of ECT just is about, 5 minutes or something like this. And 5 minutes later, the people will be awake and they won't remember kind of what happened. And hopefully then also will start to feel better soon after that.
And are there particular conditions that it's used to treat?
Yeah, it is mostly nowadays, it's used to treat difficult to treat depression or what was also called treatment resistant depression. So people who have been trialed on several medications and combinations and also in addition to psychotherapy. And if those people don't improve, then ECT is able to improve the symptoms of people with also chronic depression in 60 to 70%, which is really, really good. And the other indication for ECT nowadays is also difficult to treat acute psychosis or acute schizophrenia. And also there we have very well response rate up to 60, 70% of people who could not be helped with any other available pharmaceutical treatment we have at hand.
No, they're very impressive sounding results. How many sessions would a patient require typically?
Yeah, typically, after 5 to 6 sessions, that you would see an improvement. So that, for example, if it's a chronic depression or severe depression, you would see that the people get a bit better mood, improved mood. They're more emotionally reactive, though they start smiling again. And it typically takes 5 to 6 sessions. And in case of psychosis, the people will tell that the psychotic symptoms are more in the background and they're not so much impaired by them. So it's usually 5 to 6 sessions. In some cases, it can take a bit longer, 8 to 9 sessions maybe. But this is usually what it takes to really see a significant improvement in the people's symptoms.
And do those effects last?
Yes, in some cases they last. In some cases, like a normal kind of ECT series, we call that, would take 10 to 12 sessions. And then usually the people are much improved and we can stop with it. And kind of 50% of the people, this improvement or even remission from their mental health symptoms will last. In another 50%, we have a bit the issues that they can relapse after a couple of weeks without ECT. So in Germany, where I come from, and what we usually would do then is we do this kind of single booster sessions of ECT. For example, they're at home for 4 to 6 weeks. And then we just would bring them in for one booster session and then wait 2-3 months, do another booster session. And with this kind of booster sessions, you can also maintain the improvement or the remission in the patients.
Yeah. And is it known exactly what effect this has on the brain or why it works?
There are some theories and also some data from as well clinical as preclinical studies. So the one thing which has consistently been shown is that there is...
Uh-oh. Yeah, okay, well, I don't know what happened there. That line went down. So we'll take a wee break. We'll see, can we get back to Sarah after this? We managed to re-establish contact with Sarah Kittel-Schneider. Sarah, I was just asking you where we got cut off there about why it works, how it works, and is it known exactly what effect it has on the brain?
Yeah. So we have some indications from as well clinical as preclinical studies. The one thing is that we can see that a certain growth factor is called brain neurotrophic growth factor, brain neurotrophic, that's BDNF also short. And this is reduced in people with mood disorders and also psychotic disorders. And if you do ECT, the certain growth factors then increases in its concentration, which is helping then to kind of repair damaged synapses, and for example. And the other thing is that we also have indication that in as well mood disorders as psychotic disorders, so kind of the wiring of the brain is disturbed. So there are several networks in the brain that are dysfunctional in those disorders. And the ECT is kind of, it's kind of, I describe that to the patients. If your computer is not functioning right, you can just, you know, reset the computer and then it works again. And this is kind of what we think the ECT does to the brain. So we kind of do a reset, an electrical reset of the brain, and then it starts again. And this is kind of repairs the dysfunctional networks that are there in mood disorders or psychotic disorders.
Okay, so it just reboots the brain, basically. It doesn't seem to be that commonly used in Ireland. Is there any reason for that?
I think I'm not, I mean, I only relocated to Ireland last year, so I'm not privy into all the, you know, the issues why that's not you know, really used all over the place. But the thing is with ECT, it's a bit more like there's an organizational effort. So you need a psychiatrist, you need a mental health nurse, you need an anesthetist and an anesthetist nurse for that. You need the equipment, you need a ventilation machine, you need a ventilating machine, you need the ECT device on its own and a proper room to do that and also to monitor the patients a bit afterward. So it's a bit of an organizational effort, which is not easy to establish, and I think that might be one of the barriers. And the other thing is, there's, as you mentioned before, there's still a lot of stigma around the treatment itself, like coming from, let's say, darker ages and also movies. Mm. So people are reluctant to really get it started, I think.
Yeah. So there is this thing now, transcranial direct current stimulation. What is that?
So there's two, that's a more like modern, non-invasive brain stimulation therapies. The one is the RTMS, which is repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation. The other one is the TDCS, so the transcranial direct current stimulation, and both have proven first results, the RTMS more than the TDCS, to be also effective in depression, especially. I've treated patients with RTMS back in Germany, and what I can say is it's a bit like easier to establish because you don't need to be under a sedation or narcosis. In this case, the patients can be awake, but it's a bit less effective, or it's less effective than the ECT. And it's not sufficient if you do it like only two or three times a week. So you would need to do it like at least five times a week. And then the effect is quite good in some patients, but it is not as highly effective as the ECT is, but still it's a good option and add on to medication or add on to medication and psychotherapy. And I've seen a lot of patients really also benefiting from this when we did that in Germany.
Yeah. So and presumably, though, you'd use the at-home kit for depression rather than, you know, if you're in the depths of psychosis.
Yeah, that's the thing. So like RTMS and TDCS, is that there's more evidence for the use or efficacy in depression rather than psychosis. And the thing is, the RTMS you cannot do at home because that's a real big magnet also you need for this. So this is just something you can do in an institution. Also for outpatients, obviously, but not at home. The TDCS you could do easily at home because there are those two electrodes you just need to be shown how to put them on your head, so to say, and then you can program the device with the parameters for the stimulation. So this is quite easy, and this could be done at home. And I have high hopes. I hope that the clinical trials that are running at the moment are really showing that it's effective, because that definitely could be done at home by the patient.
Yeah, yeah. And that at home kit, would there be any danger of you could overdo it?
No, because the thing is, the only thing what can happen, because it's electrical stimulation, but only a very mild one. You can have a bit of a reddening or a bit of like scratchy feeling, but it's not really that the current is so low that there's no risk of really getting hurt or anything like this. So that is really something that is also safe for the patients or affected individuals to do at home.
Yeah, but generally speaking, it would be in conjunction with medication of some sort, would it?
Usually the RTMS and the TDCS is usually not standalone treatment. It's more like, in conjunction with medication and maybe also psychotherapy.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Sarah, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Sarah Kittel-Schneider, Head of the Department of Psychiatry at UCC and a consultant in general adult psychiatry.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.